When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
End of the week. I'm at the end of another week. And actually, I'm recording this microcast in the middle of the day on the final day of the week. So I still got stuff to do today. This isn't quite a reflection of the overall day, but I can look back on the week and see how I did. So this, as I've just telegraphed, this is going to be more of a art journal, more than an essay. But perhaps I'm modeling something here in the way of, exploring my thought process as to how I review the work that I set out to do, the work that I did, the work that I didn't do, and how I plan to address it in the weeks to come. Not to get too hung up on efficiencies here, because as part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, which you've heard me mention a lot on these Thunder Punch Daily shows, artsoundoff.com, a bunch of other different cartoonists and illustrators and visual storytellers are all recording daily microcasts, exploring and art journaling the stuff that they've been working on. Owen Jolan's A Fable Impact on Audio Boom, I will link to it in the show notes. He recently did an episode about like when the wheels fall off the wagon, and he explained it as an inevitability. And I thought it was great how he was framing it up, that it's going to happen. And it's not about trying to prevent it from ever happening. It's about aligning oneself and preparing oneself to deal with it when it happens. It just happens. And it's not something we should get to beat up on ourselves too much about. But it is worth thinking about when you set out, you set up your to-do list for the week, whether it's through a to-do app or through a Trello board or through note cards on a cork board or however you do it. Because guess what? There's no right or wrong way to do it. Whatever works for you. But it is worth going back and looking at what was accomplished and what hiccups occurred and how can you prepare for that in the future. How can you, align things to get more caught up, but not turn yourself into some kind of infernal machine, some efficiency machine, right? So first, let's congratulate ourselves, right? I'm going to go through my Trello board and look at what I got done this week. So I finished inking the Roboforce chapter 2, finished the inks for the final page, colored a page of Roboforce this week. I think that was like yesterday I was talking about that, or the day before. I got the colors and lettering done on Boulder and Fleet page 9. I had some pitch changes come across my desk. So I've got various pitches out into the wild, being put under the noses of editors to see if, find another gig. That's part of the life of a freelancer and a comics creator, is that you're always hunting for more jobs. So I got a couple pitches out there, but one of the pitches, my agent had some input on, like, well, this needs punching up, that needs punching up. And thankfully, that didn't fall in my lap. It fell on the writer's lap, so all I had to do was review what the writer changed and offer whatever thoughts that I had. So that was one of the things I did. As I've said in some past Thunder Punch Dailies, I got a workshop next week, a pilot program for a event where I'm working with an organization to create some workshops that use comic book design and storytelling techniques to encourage kids to create video game characters. So they do a character design workshop with me, and then they follow up with what they made in that section to work with these video game designers to turn their characters into video game sprites. And that required quite a bit of front-end work, even though a lot of the material I'll be bringing to that workshop is stuff I've done a bunch of times. I had to update my slide deck to make it, relevant to this new group, throw out some stuff that was more about comic book storytelling, less about character design, bring in some new material to, address the stuff that we'll be doing there. I had to draft some workshop proposals, because after this workshop that we want to say, like, hey, if you enjoyed this, here are the things that we could be doing in the future. So I had to write up a whole bunch of different ideas and draft descriptions of potential workshops that could follow up this one. And when you're drafting a workshop proposal, I know I've talked about this on Comics Are Great and other shows, You know, I think about what are the objectives, what are the outcomes, what is the activity, and then how do I package that up in a single paragraph to make it interesting for somebody who's just walking by and sees the description. So a little bit of work on that. I had to create new workshop printouts because as these kids are going to be making sprites for their characters, we wanted to create, the whole team decided that we should have templates so as to encourage the kids to not, as I always like to say, limitations breed creativity. And it is a limiting thing to give them a grid and like draw within this grid. But that's part of the, that's a necessary feature of creating sprites, is that you want the sprites to, if they're going to move, you want the movement between the two different keyframes to look somewhat consistent, and creating a template for them to work within will help steer them in that direction, right? I got two classes this week, Graphic Novel Academy. I did one yesterday, my youth class. Tonight I got my teen class. My tradition of the redesigned He-Man characters thing yesterday. Today, for the teen class, I don't think I want to use He-Man as the character design challenge, for a variety of reasons. One of which is that I don't think teens will necessarily appreciate or like the He-Man cartoon. It is meant for younger kids and old weirdos like me. I just don't want to sit through teens lambasting something I love. I've got the internet for that, so I'm going to pick something that's a little bit more aged up and something that something I'm not as emotionally attached to. So if they are going to go through their whole like, I'm a teenager and I got to show you how clever I am by making fun of a thing, at least it's not something that I love a lot. Although now that I think about it, I mentioned Owen, and Owen was talking about Jason the Wheeled Warriors recently. I wonder if I should take that to the class. Because like, what I look for in this, and this is kind of a side note, but what I look for in these character design examples when I take a cartoon into the classroom is I try to find something that kind of like mixes a lot of genres so that it appeals to the maximum amount of people. And that's one of the reasons I love using He-Man, is because it's science fiction, it's fantasy, it's adventure, it's also, you know, a relationship, morality tale. It's got all that stuff baked in. So whatever your interest, if you're interested in Harry Potter or if you're interested in Star Wars, there's something in there for you to glom onto, at least a little bit. Whereas if I take, say, Gem and the Holograms, which I love a lot, is that going to appeal to every kid in the room? Maybe not as much. And part of this challenge in teaching kids, and this is something I explored with Rob just on the extra lean that we posted last night, which is at patreon.com/leanintoart. You know, the idea of making... I'm not afraid of doing the effort as long as that the effort is related to something that I care about or something that I think is cool, right? So that's part of the challenge in picking the cartoon that the kids are going to work with, the teens are going to work with. I shouldn't call them kids. I did some Comics Are Great scheduling this week. So, you know, I'm looking at there's only like a month and a half left in the year. One of the things that has been falling off my plate as of late is scheduling and recording Comics Are Great shows. So I was working with the library to book the room and schedule the final two episodes of the year. I've got a meeting with a collaborator on a project this afternoon. As a matter of fact, probably shortly after I finish recording this, I got to head out to go meet with her. It's in an embryonic form right now. We're just working out outline, characters, premise, sort of the conditions of the world, but it's for a comics project that I've wanted to do for many, many years. And it's slow going, but we're trying to maintain a weekly meeting schedule so as to not lose track of it. You know, like sometimes you have to make a commitment to a thing, even if it's only an hour at a time, in order to make some kind of headway with it. And then I had some Kids Read Comics stuff that I had to do. I haven't talked about that in a while. It's been months since I talked about Kids Read Comics. So yes, you know, starting in January, the organization for that event sort of kicks in. And I got to start focusing on, you know, lining things up for it, working with the library, working with the fellow KRC organizers, getting our special guest scheduled, and start working on like how we're going to approach doing guest lists and stuff like that. Now, what did I not do? So that sounds like I spent some minutes on that. It seems like I got, you know, a decent amount of stuff done. But as always, you never get everything done that you wanted to, because like some of the things I didn't do this week are I had another page of RoboForce coloring that I wanted to have done by today. I had some emails that I wanted to catch up on that I didn't get to. I have two podcasts that are recorded but just need to be edited. So I have a Saturday Supercast sitting there on my hard drive waiting for me to put it together. And a Kids Comics Revolution episode that has been waiting for me to start, you know, sculpting it so that Dave Roman and I can figure out like how to bridge it all together and how to organize all the information on it. So at least three big items, four big items that I didn't get done this week. And how am I going to deal with it? I don't know. The good news is that I found out that I've got Saturday scheduled as a work day. Normally Saturdays, as I've said in past shows, are about catching up with the house, doing grocery shopping. You know, there's many, many, when you own a house, there's many things that you need to do to maintain it. Even if you have an apartment, for crying out loud, if you have your own space, there's a lot of things to do to maintain it. But Ann's got work all day on Saturday, so I'm going to take that time to try to get caught up on some of this backlog to-do list. I know I'm putting RoboForce page 20 at the top of my list for Saturday morning. And hopefully I'll get that done, as well as some editing on one of the podcasts that's waiting in the backlog. And then, you know, the only other thing that's been on my mind is I mentioned pitches earlier. So I've got these pitches that are out there into the ether, and I don't know how fast I'm going to hear from anybody on that. I mean, that's one of the beauties and horrors of pitching books, is that you send them out and then it's out of your hands. There's nothing I can do about it now except wait to hear from people. And while I'm waiting to hear from people, and then even after, like, let's say I do hear from some people, it's going to be like there's a long spin-up cycle to actually working on the book. So as I plot out the next 3 to 4 months of my life, and I do try to keep my eye on that, like that kind of like window, like, okay, what are the next 3 or 4 months going to look like? What are the next 3 or 4 months going to look like? Which is actually pretty short term when you think about it. But I'm always looking at the next 3 or 4 months as like, how am I going to, what am I going to do with my time? Am I going to find more freelance work? Am I going to be working for a publisher? Am I going to be doing, and I've got jobs lined up, but I don't have any big comics projects lined up probably until end of January, which means that when I finish RoboForce end of this month, November, I've got December and January kind of open. And not to say like, oh God, where am I going to find work? I think I'm going to be okay. So that means that I'm actually going to have some time to really invest into Boulder and Fleet and build up my buffer, build up my backlog, iron out some more parts of the story that are coming up, get a little bit more ahead on the thumbnailing. And yes, got holidays in there. So really, we're only looking at 2 weeks in December of like really like solid work before things get crazy with like visiting family and friends and, you know, doing just general holiday stuff. But then I got January. And January, it'd be cool to use some of that time for personal projects. And that's what I intend to do. Reviewing what you've done, figuring out what you're going to do, and then looking at it from the larger narrative of like, how can I take what I learned from this week to some of the months ahead? Do I have any takeaways as to why I didn't get stuff done? A lot of it comes out of teaching. A lot of it comes out of like teaching and meetings, because like this workshop I got next week, I had to do a lot of meetings for that, a lot of writing work for that. And then there's a lot of prep work involved around teaching the classes. So one of the things that I'm going to be doing in January to address this is taking a little time off from some of the, I'm not going to teach quite as much in January. I'm going to do some teaching, but just not as much to, you know, allow a little bit more room in there for more comics work. That's the only big takeaway I got right now, is like shifting around what plates fall off, right? So I said earlier, like comics are great, fell off the pile, and I'm coming back to it to reschedule and set up some new episodes for the end of the year. It's reprioritizing what plates are going to be the ones that fall off the stack so that I can put more energy into something else. This is that juggling thing that Rob has been talking about in the Polytechnicast. Okay, so who am I? Jersey Droz, cartoonist and teaching artist, comicsaregreat.com, boulderandfleet.com, leanintoart.com, and artsoundoff.com. So a lot of great cartoonists, visual storytellers recording microcasts, reflecting on their days, all with really different styles. And it's so fun to listen to everybody's own approach. And it's also really interesting to hear how good everybody is at this thing. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get in front of a mic and share your thoughts and try to make them into something that's like cohesive and interesting for somebody else. But I will say that, like, you know, Owen, Ashley, Bitsfair, Nathan, and Robin, you guys are all doing great jobs of like creating really thoughtful explorations. And also it's just great to hear your voices and get to know you guys better as artists, because something that one of you said before, and other people have reported this to me, and I've told this story before. I was at the Miami Book Fair, and this is like maybe like a year into doing the Art and Story podcast. And a guy walks up to my table at the Miami Book Fair and just started talking to me as if he had always known me. Like, he didn't introduce himself, say, "Hi, my name is this." He just said, "Hey, so back in 2002 when you were working on this project and this happened to you, how did you deal with this?" Like, no introduction, just no preamble, just dove right into talking with me as if he's always known me. And at the time, it was really unnerving. I was like, "What? Who are you?" Not like I wasn't angry or anything. I was just like surprised, right? But as many people point out, when you do a lot of podcasting, people have the advantage of really getting to know you from listening to you for hours and hours, but you don't have the advantage of the same. And one of the things I'm grateful for with the Art Sound Off Challenge is I'm getting to know you guys who are participating a lot better. And it's really cool. I'm feeling more and more like I know your personalities a little bit better. And I get more context as to how when you respond to something that Rob and I do, like where it's coming from. And just context is so, so cool. Anyway, I'm done. I'll be back tomorrow though, because I, you know, got more work to do, more art journaling to do. And until then, remember everybody.
Today we learned about the value of trying, even when the odds are against you. Sometimes when people around us aren't playing by the rules or the job seems too big, it's easy to become discouraged. But that's when you really have to stick with it and keep trying, because that's how winners are born. So whether you're playing a game or doing your schoolwork, no matter how far behind you think you are, don't give up. Remember, you can't win if you don't try. See you next time.